Michael Cooper joins us on Sports Byline, the former Los Angeles Laker great. He played 12 seasons in the NBA and all of those in a Lakers uniform, and he played on 5 world championship teams in 12 years with the Lakers, and he was in the finals 8 times during his NBA career. And you talk about a shutdown guy. Michael was that, NBA's Defensive Player of the Year 1 year and selected to the NBA All-Defensive Team 8 times. And Larry Bird once said that Cooper was the best defender he ever faced. Let me ask you about growing up in L.A. When you sit back and think about the outstanding career, Michael, that you had, are you ever surprised to any degree that you had the career that you had because of the fact that when you were young you had an accident that your knee was severely injured and the doctors even said they didn't think you'd be able to walk?
Well, the injury that happened when I was a little kid, and I never thought about that. I know the one thing, and my grandmother always used to tell me, is that, Michael, you're a blessed child, you know, and anytime I felt that I couldn't go outside and play or I couldn't do this or I couldn't do that, she would always come up. And she would tell me that, and I really didn't understand what it was until I was able to become a Laker player and finding out that I'm able to say and do some things to some kids to make an impact on their life as other than just being a basketball player. But at that particular time, Ron just was playing and enjoying life and being a kid growing up here in Southern California and just trying to make the ends meet, you know, so you go to school because my family wasn't blessed with a lot of money. So a scholarship, I knew that that was going to be my vehicle to getting there, and basketball was that venue. But at that particular time, it looked grim, but that shows you how good God is.
Yeah, those early challenges, I know that when kids have them, it almost becomes a fire in their belly, a driving force. Was it like that for you, Michael?
Yes, because, again, even after I was able to come back from the injury and started playing and being able to do things, you know, with young kids to say, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, you know, mine was a basketball player. And people used to tell me all the time, oh, you Cooper never make it. You're not a good offensive player. You don't do this. You're too skinny. You don't do that. And that, you're right. It was a fire in my belly that, you know, I was going to prove all of them wrong. And with the love and the support from my family, that, you know, my uncle, he just kept telling me, just stay the course and do what you got to do and make sure that you enjoy the game. And obviously academics is very important. But when people constantly telling you that you can't do something and they don't even know really who you are, these are people on the outside that sometimes you feel that they're your friends, but they don't know what really drives you. Yeah, that was a driving force that just said, you know what, if I'm going to make this happen, it's going to be all on me.
You know, one of the things that I love about basketball is just the mental image, and having witnessed it in the inner city in New York and Philadelphia, Washington, Chicago, I'm sure in L.A. as well. Those games on the playground are so very, very special. What was it like for you growing up as a kid at that time? Because now today it is a little bit different.
Well, you know, at the time growing up, we were like a seasonal athletes then, whatever season it was, you know, during baseball, So when basketball finally came around and understanding, I grew up with a lot of my cousins, and I grew up with like 6 or 7 of my cousins. So with just our little group playing in the backyard, it wasn't about your neighborhood. It was just about the Butler kids and the Cooper kids going to play, and we were challenging other people from different neighborhoods to play. But it was very, very difficult. It was hard. You know, kids nowadays have the indoor gyms and the nice lights and the nice shoes and stuff. So we were coming up, we had the Chuck Taylors, white or black, whichever one that you wanted. Didn't have the different multicolors that they have now. But it was about going out on the schoolyard and just proving yourself out there, showing that, you know, not so much about the move, but showing that you can play the game of basketball, make a good bounce pass, make a good drop step, move the fundamentalness of the game that Dr. Naismith meant this game was to be about, as opposed to now, it's the flashy dribble and this and that. But it was a war, and you always had to be ready. And, you know, we weren't worried about floor burns or the asphalt getting tan up your skin. What you did, just went home, nursed it, and then you came back out, and you played. And that was like your badge of honor right there. Well, I got this playing over on 32nd Street. I got this over on Crenshaw. I got this over at the Y. So, you know, you kind of like carry those badges that you have, those injuries as your badge, and you went on to the next place, but you just tried to compete as best as you could.
You know, every playground always had a legend. When you were playing, who was the legend?
Raymond Lewis. And Raymond Lewis was the legend here in Los Angeles, California. And I know probably a lot of people don't know about him, but if you grew up anywhere in the vicinity of California, you knew about Raymond Lewis. He went on to play Long Beach State, and he was a great player there, Cal State LA. He did some time. And then he also played in the had an opportunity to play against Doug Collins. The Sixers drafted him. But Raymond Lewis was our hero here, and, you know, he once scored 62 points in one half of a game out here. And he didn't even play the second half of a game, and that's how good this guy was. But he was a legend, the great Raymond Lewis.
You know, I hear about these legends, and Helicopter Herman was somebody that was known back in New York on the playgrounds there. And yet a lot of them do not make it to professional basketball. And I once asked Al Addles why that is. If they were that good on the playgrounds, why they couldn't transfer that to professional basketball. And he said something, Michael, that was very interesting to me, and maybe you can amplify it a little bit. He said they could not play system basketball. What was he talking about?
That's exactly what it is. I think you get a great playground player like that. They know how to play the game within themselves. They know how to score. They know how to get to the basket. They know how to play defense. Most of them will play the passing lane, but it's all about scoring. So when you try to put those players into the team concept, into five players working together out on the court, sometimes it's hard because when that player doesn't have the basketball, he doesn't know what to do. And that is the biggest thing. I mean, I think Al Addles hit it just right on the head, is that basketball was a team sport. Dr. Naismith meant five players working together to accomplish a win, accomplish a championship, but to play well within that particular game. And then when you get these great players that are standouts, Freeman Williams was another one who went on to have a good NBA career. They don't know what to do when they pass the ball. They just stand there. And that, I think, is the biggest part that you get when you get a phenom like that, a guy that can put points on the board or create shots, or a la Allen Iverson, so the more younger people understand what we're talking about. Those players are hard. It's hard for those players to be an accomplished player within a team system because they're all about the one-man show.
One of the things that I also know is the fact that when it comes to a young player, somebody like a Michael Cooper or others, early in their life there has got to be somebody who was an influence, maybe a coach, maybe somebody like that. Who was it for you?
I had a couple of people, Ron. My uncle, and his name is Tom, and I never tried to put those two together because it always sounded weird, Uncle Tom. So he always says, my uncle, Tom. Tom, my uncle. He was influential in me. I grew up, my mom and dad separated when I was very early, so he was like the father figure for us and our family, and we always kind of like did what he did, and he taught us the ways of growing up to be a man, and then he kind of passed us on. And I think the next most important person was my high school coach, George Turgeon, at Pasadena High School. Coach Turgeon was a very religious man, but taught the game of basketball in a fundamental way. And he was the first one to turn us on to the Christian athlete, and to that you can praise God and do athletics at the same time as well as academics. But those two were important. And then I had a couple of ones. I think Norm Ellenberger, he touched on different aspects of my life of being more aggressive because I was always a timid person. When I got to New Mexico, he taught me to be a more aggressive defensive player. And then Pat Riley kind of like polished everything up with just attention to detail. And he was very, very influential in the things that Coach Riley used to do with us in basketball. I still do a lot of that in my average everyday life, some of the things that we went through and the preparation, the thinking about things. And one thing that Pat told me that I just so, so important, always dress to impress. And that was the one thing, because we always ask, Coach Riley, why are you, you're just a coach over there. He says, hey, I might be a coach over there, but somebody's looking at me. So that was one of the things that he taught me that I still carry to this day, is you dress to impress. And I tell my kids that all the time. People don't want somebody with their pants hanging down or anything. They want somebody that looks very, very neat, clean, like they know what they can do, and they can walk into a professional corporate world and be successful.
How confident were you as a basketball player, and when did it really kind of take hold of you that you could play this game at a high level?
Ron, that happened for me when in high school. I was just playing basketball because that was a thing to do, and hopefully I'll get a scholarship from that, and eventually I did. But it really took hold of me when I got to New Mexico my senior year, and I remember this. Norm Ellenberger was very good friends with Jerry West, and Jerry used to come out and play golf in Albuquerque. So he told him to come out and see this guy named Marvin Johnson that we have on our team. And Marv was a very, Marv was a scorer. This guy had 50 points in a game in college without a 3-point line. If he had a 3-point line today, he probably would have had 80 or 90 points that particular game. But he was coming out to see him, and I saw Jerry in the stands and not knowing that. And I said, you know what? I know he's here to see Marv, so let me see if I can make an impact on him. And after that game, I actually had a pretty good game. I had like 18 points, 12 rebounds, a couple of blocks and some things. And Norm said, Coach Ellenberger came in at the end of the game. He said, you know what, Mike, Jerry West is impressed with you. And from that point forward, we had about maybe six or seven more games left. I figured that I could play the game then, and that's when I really put everything I had into, like, really making myself known to the NBA world.
Michael Cooper is with us, former Los Angeles Laker great. He played 12 seasons, all of them in the Lakers uniform. And if you take a look, you'll see that he played on five championship teams and went to the finals eight times. Some great battles in the NBA and, of course, was on some very talented teams as well. But he became a shutdown guy, and that's an attitude more than anything else. And we'll talk to him about that as we continue across the country and around the world with you on Sports Byline.